This evening we'll have a look at one or two extracts from Vayakel and also from Tekude, enable us, Mr. Shem, next week to begin our first of three shiurim on the Haggadah. The first item that I would like to draw your attention to is a most beautiful comment by the Baal HaTurim at the very beginning of the parsha. The Baal HaTurim notes that the Sidra of last week, indeed we spoke something about it, the Sidra of last week concluded with Ki Koran Or Pano, speaking about the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's countenance. This week, the parsha of Vayakel begins with the Inyan of Shabbat. So the Baal HaTurim says as follows, Kisiv Le'el Ki Koran Or Pano. Earlier on, at the end of the previous parsha, it tells us, Ki Koran Or Pano, that Moshe Rabbeinu's face is radiant. The Somich Le'i Parsha of Shabbos, and next to that comes the parsha of Shabbos at the beginning of this week's Sidra, Lomar, to allude to the following thing, She'eino Dome Kirun Konim Shel Shabbos Yisa'ar Hayomim, that the radiance of the countenance of the individual on a weekday is not the same as the radiance of the countenance of the individual on Shabbos. And indeed, as we know, this is a theme which has halakhic implications. Because whereas for Sheva Brochas one should have a ponim chadoshos, but on the words Mizmor Shili Yomash Shabbos, Chazal say ponim chadoshos bo'u lechad. Now this particular idea that it is a special brocha of Shabbos, that the countenance of the individual, as it were, is radiant, this in fact is a medrash. The medrash says on the Pasuk, Vayevorech Elohim et Yom HaShviyi Vayekadesh Oto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to Shabbos and also sanctified it. On that the medrash says as follows, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Beinachol Bamon, the bracha that was given to the Shabbos was the fact that a double portion of Mon fell on Erev Shabbos, and Vayekadesh Oto, the Kiddush Oto, the Or Panav Shel Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Shabbos by giving the individual a special radiance, and goes on to say, Lo Dome Or Panim Shel Adam Koyamot HaShavua Kenosha Hu Dome B'Shabbos. You cannot compare the radiance of the countenance of the individual during the week with that on Shabbos. Might be just worthwhile to add as a PS the thematic link between the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's face and the radiance of our countenances on Shabbos by referring to a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says in the beginning of Sefer Bereshit that in reality when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light at the beginning of Bliyat HaOlam, it is a very special light. And for one reason or another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to withdraw that light and to reserve it for Tzadikim L'yotik Lovel. And that is a light which all will enjoy in Olam Haba. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, that is the light with which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. That is why when it is a Yahweh Sochi Tovu, Chazal say Mitzmalei Habayis Ola, the world, the house was filled with light, because that was the light with which he was born. And that light stayed with him, says the Zohar HaKadosh, until he was taken to Pharaoh's house. From the moment he was taken by Bas Paro to the palace, that light went away, and it was returned to him on Har Sinai at this particular moment in time. So therefore the light that Moshe Rabbeinu has from this moment on is the light which is reserved for all in Olam Haba, Le'yotzik Lovel. Therefore it should come as no surprise that this particular episode should be put next to Shabbos, because Shabbos, as we all know, is Me'ed Olam Haba. So therefore, the light that we have on Shabbos is, as it were, a reflection of the light which we will all enjoy, L'yotzik Lovel. So that's the theme, as I say, that the Baal HaTurim indicates is alluded to by the juxtaposition of these two items. What I want to look at now at some length is a very powerful essay by the Matzil Le'David on the opening Rashi. Vayakel Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu assembled. And Rashi says as follows, Namachrat Yom HaKippurim, on the day after Yom Kippur, Kishayonad Min Hohor, when he came down from the mountain. So Rashi has identified the moment when this assembly is taking place as Namachrat Yom HaKippurim. And here the Master of David has some most wonderful insights to offer. After all, we know as a basic axiom, Rashi always offers his comment as an answer to a question. So we have to discover what is the difficulty that Rashi has, and then we will be better able to understand his comment. Here's the Master of David, Perush, the Kosherei. Rashi has the following problem. In the end of last week's Sidra, it is written, by Yehuda Redis Moshe, and it came to pass when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, which we know is on Yom Kippur, the Achechein, the prophet then goes on to say afterwards, Nigashu Kol B'nei Yisrael, the entire children of Israel approached him, and the prophet goes on to say, by Yisavim Eiskol Asher Giver Akem Ito Bahar Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu on that occasion spoke to them all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them on Har Sinai. Now, so Rashi has a problem. In saying, if this is so, that they are assembled, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, is Me'achad Yechulehu Hosam HaVeyashveh, if they are all already sitting at his feet, is Achmahu HaHakel HaZeh? What do you mean that he assembled them? They're already there. The heart of the cause of Vayakel Moshe, why does the Nika say Vayakel Moshe? It says, at the end of Rashi's passage, he has got them all together to tell them everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him on Har Sinai. So why is there a need for Vayakel? And a Mukhrach Lomar, therefore Rashi is indicating to us that we have to say, the parts of Zushal Melechas HaMishkon lo amoro lo hem do de yom shiur admin ahor to hainu yom HaKippurim. But the parcel with which we begin this week's sitter was not said at the same time as the other. Because if it was said at the same time, there's no need to assemble it, are you there? Hello? Achaka? It was obviously said at a later date. The Lokach, and it was for this reason, Hutzlach Lachzor Lachakimov, that's why we had to go back and assemble them again. Now, says the Master of David, all right, we know it wasn't Yom Kippur. Well, how do you know it was the day after? Says the Master of David, a cloud brother which we have repeated many, many times, whom he allow his kir hakosul eimot havo, and since the portal does not tell us the precise date of this new assembly, muchlech lomar, we are forced to say, gemiyad b'yom sheliyachorov, that it was the day after Yom Kippur. Why? Shaharei lovo hakosul listol elo lefarish. A cloud brother. Whenever the Torah gives us information, it is always information which enlightens. It is never information which confuses. Therefore, we are entitled to deduce that if indeed Moshe Rabbeinu assembled the Jewish people on a day following Yom Kippur, because the Torah is always precise, we are forced to conclude that the date must be none other than the day after, not some anonymous date in the future. So what we have at the moment is, very simply, the proof that the assembly did not take place in Yom Kippur, and also the logic that allows us to deduce that the date on which the assembly took place was indeed the day after Yom Kippur. But now, the Master of David branches out into new territory. The Tam Hadovo Shalo Omalahem Pasha Zumiyad Yomaki Purim, Kamosha Omalahem Shara Mitzvah Kitakasivli El Vayetabay with Kalashani Vayetimito, the Hasinai. Says the Master of David, now I have a different question. If indeed at the end of year of last week's Pasha, we noted that they all came near to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he commanded them all that he had been told on Har Sinai, because the prophet says quite clearly, by Yisraveim Eiskol Asher Jibir Asher Yitova Har Sinai. So now I've got a question. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them all about the Mishkan at the time as he was telling them everything else? There's the Master of David. Answer, it is possible that he did not do so. Shekivein bozeh Moshe Rabbeinu olot hashalom, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not do so deliberately,
Why? Lefisha ein melechet ha-mishkan doche Shabbos. Because no work associated with the Mishkan may be performed on Shabbos. Ve'lokach lo hodi'om nide b'yom ha-kipurim. That's why he didn't say a word to them about the Mishkan on Yom Kippur. Because b'yom ha-kipurim nami b'klei Shabbos. V'dino k'Shabbos l'chol dover. Yom Kippur has exactly the same dinim as Shabbos. It's not like a Yom Kippur regarding Yom Kippur. All the dinim of Shabbos apply to Yom Kippur. The only difference is in regards to onus. The onus of Yom Kippur is kares. The onus of Shabbos is tequila. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately omitted it. Why? The tequila will shaykh yasiyotavei. And since it would not be halachically possible for the Jewish people to become involved immediately on that day in the erection of a Mishkan, lo rotzala hodiyam klum, he preferred not to tell them about it at all. Kedei shemeinov cheshkom lezirusam lemitzwa leyaskilu miyad goviyom. So that in their enthusiasm, because after all, as we will see through the medium of a number of Mephoshim that we look at this evening, Mitzvah Hashem, the building of the Mishkan is not just the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan, as we well know, is a sign that all is forgiven by Chetel Egel. So it's not just a simple, mitzvah to build a house for God. It is the ultimate reconciliation in the life of the people. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is convinced that if he would come down the second time after the debacle of his first descent from the mountain, being greeted by the Egel Azov, and comes now with a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you, the utterly mitzvah for Shachati and Selchom, without even thinking about it, they will immediately go up, Yahavim and Vosam, to bring their gifts, and even bringing their gifts will be a Chilul Shabbos. Shaharel Hahavor Nami Havi Melacha. Because carrying from their own side of domain into the Rishus HaRabim, which was the Machaneh Leviyah, is in itself a Melacha. Tahayne Hotsom and Rishus HaYochid Jidhu, the Machaneh Leviyah, Eshel Moshe, the Rishus HaRabim Havi, Kiriyitim HaShabbos Perik HaZurek. So therefore, if you want to know how come that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Bnei Yisrael everything that he had been commanded on Har Sinai on the day he descended from the mountain, namely on Yom Kippur, and deliberately omitted to mention anything about the Mishkan, says the Maskil Adonai, the reason is because he was convinced in the best possible way, convinced that because of their enthusiasm to be able to build this house for Hashem as an object which represented, amongst other things, the reconciliation between Hashem and his people, that they might forget, because after all, they are only being initiated into the Torah at this particular moment in time, they would forget that there is a Chilul Shabbos involved, and so he left it out. And now says the Maskil Adonai, this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately omitted it for the reason which we've just given will allow us to explain something else. And with this idea in mind, we will be able to answer another question. In Parshas Vayakhel, Moshe Rabbeinu describes the prohibitions of Shabbos before he gets around to telling them about the Mishkan. Whereas in Parshas Ki Sisa, at the very beginning, Melechet HaMishkan is first, followed by Achas Shabbos HaShmoro. Why is it put first here? Well, Rashi says it comes to teach us, no Masha in a Belchet, that the building of the Mishkan cannot override Shabbos. Okay. Or but the Kosha, I still got a problem. But why did Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately invert the order from that which he had been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Pitechinat Sivohu Melechas HaMishkan? Because firstly in Kisisa the Melechas HaMishkan is outlined regarding Metzalel, etc. Ubosor Hachi, and it is only after the Mishkan is mentioned, Ka'omah Lei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Achu Shabbos Tosai Kishmonu, Uchad Eliyah Vepashas Kisisa. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu invert the order? Says the Maskil Adonai, Moshe Rabbeinu is inverting the order as an act of personal apology. Do you want to know why I didn't tell you about the Melechet HaMishkan yesterday? Because Shabbos is a day on which the Melechet HaMishkan cannot take place. It's more important than the Mishkan. Had I told it to you yesterday on Yom Kippur, there was a possibility that you might have ignored that fact in your enthusiasm and would have been Mechallel Shabbos. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately put Shabbos first was so that he shouldn't give them an opportunity to say to him, Adonainu Moshe, my Tamalo Amriso Milon Yamalekas Amishkon Esmo, Milachishi and Adatam in a hall. Why didn't you tell us about the Malekas Amishkon yesterday? Immediately you came down, the Notaku Adonizla, you were waited until today. Bifrat Vihiyos Dovala to Eloseinu. On the contrary, not only is it a mitzvah, but it is something which is going to bring us a kapora for all our sins. Kidei shebezov zeh yechuf alonu al maiseh ho'egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu is deliberately putting the Shabbos in front of the Mishkan in order to excuse himself and explain why it is that he deliberately omitted mentioning Melechus HaMishkan yesterday on Yom Kippur. L'kach hikdiv lahem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu put Shabbos first now. K'mishnat seir. As if to say, I am excusing, I am apologizing. D'mishum hachil ha-rotsu l'tzavu sami yesmo. You know why I didn't want to tell you yesterday? D'choshat, because there was a fear. Shem ha-mireiv tavosom l'havi kaporosom yachil ha-miyad. There was a possibility that since you are so desirous of effecting this Mishkan, which will bring you a kapora, you would immediately, without thinking, involve yourself in bringing the gifts, etc. There also, and that is in fact also, Shehalei Eino Doche Shabbos, because we know that the Melechus HaMishkan is not Doche Shabbos, Upshite Dehu Hadin L'Yom HaKippurim, and by the same token, the Melechus HaMishkan is not Doche Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, the inverted order also falls beautifully into this whole pattern. It's the way that Moshe Rabbeinu explains to the Bnei Yisrael why it is that I did not command it to you earlier. Now, since we've mentioned the idea of Shabbos coming at the very beginning of Parshas Vayakel, before introducing the Melechus HaMishkan, it is worth our while to note a very fascinating phrase which is used in connection with Chilul Shabbos. Let's have a look at Pasuk Beis. Sheshes Yomim Teyaseh Melacha. Right? 6 days shall work be done, Ubayom Hashiriyi Yehiyelochem Kodesh Shabbat Shabboson Lashem, Kol Ho'oseh Vol Melacha Yumos. Whoever will work on that day will be put to death. Now that's the English translation. But there are problems. Why? Because, as is well known, the penalty for Chilul Shabbos is not Misa B'Beis Shemayim. The penalty for Chilul Shabbos is misov by wasting. L'chalelecha mos yumos. Whenever misat basting is mandated, the phrase is always mos yumos. Yumos is never a phrase which is found in regard to misat basting. And therefore, there's a major problem posed here. How come that we are being told that 6 days will work, and on the seventh day, of course, is Shabbos, and anybody who will do work on that day, you must? See, here there is a most profound comment by the Meshech Chochma. Again, it gives us an idea how the Gedolim have gone through the Chumash with a fine-tooth comb. Shabbat Shabboson Lashem Kol Horoseh Vol Melacha Yumos. Says the Meshech Chochma, Hinei Bechol Mokom Dechisiv Misa Kisiv Mos Yumos. What Meshech Chochma means is, whenever death is mandated by an earthly court, the phrase used is always Mos Yumos, not Yumos. Levad mi mekomos yotzi min haklal. There are, of course, exceptions where the word you must is used, but wherever there are exceptions and you must is used, it's always an indication that we are not speaking about the death penalty by an earthly court. Lamoshul, ukasiv, by a shore, when the ox, a man's ox, gores and kills, hashor yisokeil, the dam be'olol, you must. The ox has got to be stoned, and the owner, you must. You know and I know, the owner doesn't get killed. And that, of course, is a reference to Misa B'Dei Shemayim. On the contrary, as kofer, he pays a ransom. But there's no chatna shalom, there's no Misa here. Manish a death penalty. So therefore, the question that we have to ask is, why is it mentioned here, you must, and not most you must? Says Meshachot. For Hodjalo Kisivo Khan, most you must. Why does it not mention most you must for Chilul Shabbos here? Nire the Al Melechas Amishkon Koi. Because here what is being discussed is the fact that you are not that you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. What we're being told here, as we have already noted in our introductory comments, what we're mentioning here is the fact that you're not allowed even to build a Mishkan on Shabbos. I mean, that's what Shabbos is doing in front of the Mishkan. So we are speaking about the fact that it is forbidden to work on the Mishkan on Shabbos. Now, says Meshachah, V'terem shehu kam ha-mishkan lo hoyo noheg din dine nefoshos she'ein kohen v'ein mishpot kidadorish bepedek dalet mishnas daf nun beis omet beis v'oz lo hoyo hadayin ha-mishkan v'lo hoyo aharon kohen v'rak misosu b'idei shomayim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, on the pasuk at the beginning of Shoftim, Uvoso el hakohanim halaviyim v'el hashofet. You come to the kohanim halaviyim and to the shofet, on which the Gemara says that unless there are kohanim officiating in Beit Hamikdash, you can't judge dinei nefoshes. That's the vote in Uvoso el hakohanim halaviyim v'el hashofet. We are here at this particular moment in time discussing the building of the Mishkan. As of yet, a Mishkan is not there. Aharon v'Avodoshev is not there. His Dinei Nefoshos may have been legislated already as Nedoros in Parshas Kisisa Mechalaleh HaMos Yumos. But if you want to know at this particular moment in time why it says Kolorot of Ovalach HaYumos and not Mos Yumos, because for logistic reasons, until such time as the Mishkan is in operation and the Kohanim v'Avodasim and the Levim v'Duchanan, there is no union of Arba Misos based in. And therefore, even though you're not allowed to work on Shabbos, Shetuch and Aseret HaDibros Losa Atzeko Malacha Atzol Vinachol, etc., etc., but you cannot give Misa for that particular violation. And goes further, and this will answer another question. If you look in the Gemara regarding the Egel Azov and Gemara Yoma, the Gemara divides the various people who were involved in various aspects of the Egel. Some who actually worshipped it, etc. So what does the Gemara there say? Zovach v'kotar b'sayim. Those who actually sacrificed to the Egel Azov, those who actually brought Ketores, they were killed. They were put to death. But the amazing thing, says Meshach Chochmi, is they were put to death by the sword. And the penalty in Halacha for Avodah Zarah is Skila. So where did this Sayyid come from? The notes are no Sonki over the Avodah Zarah is Skila. You know why? She'oz Adayin lo hoya kohen v'lo hoya din in her purchase. So there can't be given a portion. There's no Mishkan. You're right, it's not permitted. But you're asking me, can we legislate those punishments? No. Ah, you'll say to me, so why did they get killed at all? Rak de b'nei noyach, k'edah matin tere gamke ner gu'al avir azorah. Although Zayde have not been initiated fully into the legal system of Dinei Yisrael, but until such time as they are initiated into the new system, they still have not left the system of Bnei Noach. They still have Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach to keep. And one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is not to worship idols. And we know that in regards to Bnei Noach, we sought the Messiah. That's why they were killed by the sword. The Zehusayat Sheva Noach, we sought the Messiah. Ah, in Parshas Kisisa, which is also before the election of the Mishkan, it says Mechaleleh HaMos Yumos, which as we have indicated, speaking about Misa Bidei Adam, the Chilul Shabbos, that's before the Hakamas HaMishkan. Yes, because there it prefaced that statement with the word L'doro Seichem, That's what's going to happen in future generations. But as they say in the classics, le'etata, at this particular moment in time, it is not implementable, if there is such a word. Kesir, kol ho'osev vel melokha, mo'yumach intisita, ve'zevel, and that is Alice. Very, very remarkable, a little bit of chokmiris, quite extraordinary. You must, and also the union of Ketaregum, which is also a masterpiece, because you have to know that the Polshim are working very, very hard to try and find out why it is that the Bnei Yisrael, those who were punished at the Eagle, were not punished with Skeet of Messiah. Marsha and Yomo says because they were judged like the people of Ir Hanidacha. I don't want to say other than Meshech Chochmah certainly sounds a very eminently acceptable response to that particular question. The idea that a certain section should be judged as Ir HaNidachas, as I say, it's not, to my mind, is not as impressive as what Meshech Chochmah has to say. Okay. So now we've had a look at a little bit about Shabbos, and now finally we look into the Mishkan. But before we do so, and as before we look into the Pesukim, let me just draw your attention to a very powerful comment by Rabbi Nachman. Actually found at the end of Parshas Vayakel, but we'll take it here, and you'll appreciate how appropriate it is to look at before we actually go into the Dinam associated with the Mishkan. Says Rabbi Nachman, the day you should know, ki hasipur be'inyan ha-mishkan ve'kelah, all this enumeration, recounting of what is to be found in the Mishkan and its furniture, the hachakira b'techunas surosav, umuva'ov, ushir or konverach b'vekomosav, and an investigation of the dimensions and configuration of all these things, you should know, afalpi she'ein beis hamigdosh kayam, even though nowadays it is not in the realms of what they call in the syllabus practical halacha, mitzvah gedolahi, the investigation of these matters is a great mitzvah. Ad shomayim yagia sechorah, the reward for investigating these matters goes up to the heavens themselves. The Torahi, it's Torah, the Lilot Anu Tzarichim, and we are required to deliberate in these matters. And you should know, the Chel Hizkiru Razal, the Indian HaKorbonos, and you should know that in regard to the Korbonos, the rabbis have told us, Kichol Hamis Atek Belimut Parshios, that a person who deliberates in the Parshios associated with the Korbonos, Vinistar Vinitain Belibo in Yonehem, and he will discuss and think on the Inyanim, he is considered she'ilu hikriv ha-korban atzmo. He is considered as if he has actually brought a sacrifice himself. Kusha omra, as the Gemara says, kol ha-osek v'pashas ola, ki'ilu hikriv ola, v'pashas chatos, ki'ilu hikriv chatos, v'chein kulam. If you learn the laws of chatos, it's like you brought the chalos and with ola, and indeed as many of you will notice on the If you're in early enough in the Korbanos, the Hirotzos, I think this is a very good line which I mentioned before, when people come in late, the first thing they sacrifice is the Korbanos. Hola Marathon, from which you learn, right? Hola Marathon is there, ala sipo betiv belavad. But even if one was only to talk about these matters, scholarly toe, ufuilo solifanav, ki ilo also hamaisa vehikrit korban ala mezbeach. The Hu Hadim Vesipur in Yone Hamishkon Vahamikdosh. And the same thing is if you deliberate on the building of the Mishkon. Sheyech Lanu Zechus Asuma Ve'enshevrav. Interestingly, he's not prepared for some unknown reason to say that if you busy yourself in the laws of building the Mishkon, it's considered as if you had. Because in reality, we did bring a Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Tzav some years ago, who says that deliberating on these in Yonim is considered Kibinyona. But be that as it may, he says it's a Zechus Atzuma Ve'ekev Rav and a great reward, Kasher Nehegevohem. If we reflect on them, meditate on them, v'nishtadei lahovin pshuton v'nigleihem, and we try to master even the details as they appear to us, without any remorse and hidden illusion. Yitzalachas kama v'kama, how much more so, im nizkeh lahasik tochom, lahaskil echad mirimzeihem, how much more so will our reward be enormous if we manage to master an insight, a hidden meaning in these inyanim. And then he goes on to say, Veruche Hiskir David al Ho'inyan Hazeh al Hanista Vahanigla. And it was in regard to this that David HaMelech said in Tehillim regarding trying to master both the Nigla and the Nistor of the Inyone Hamigdash, Selvutsir Ve'akifua. Walk around Zion and surround it. Sifru Migdaleo, count its towers. Shisa Ribachem Lechela, direct your heart to its ramparts. Pasku Amenon Seho, and gaze onto its citadels. Lamar Shisaplu Ve'acharon, and he says that's a reference to looking into all the Inyanim associated with the Beit HaMikdash. Uvezechus Hasibu, the Haheket, the Nigla, Uvenistor. And if we do this, it's a bit of a high talking, if we do this, Yashir Shechinasel Nesachel. The reward, he doesn't say that we are considered as if we built it. We will have the Zechus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back and will be amongst us again in that way. How do I know? Because the next person goes on to say, and you remember that I suppose from Hayom Yom Sheni or whatever it is, Ki Zeh Elohim Elokeinu Olam Moed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God forever, Hu Yinahageinu, He will lead us, and the next two words are to be understood as one word, Almus, which means a youngster. He will bring us back to our youth. That's obviously how Rabbeinu Bachai explains it. He will bring us back to those days when we were the young people and the Beis HaMikdash was in our midst. So therefore, in the Zechus of Sifru Migdaleo, etc., etc., Hu Yinahageinu Almus. So, as you can appreciate, a very beautiful way of introducing yet again the Inyanim of the Mishkan and Mikdash, which we have in these sitters. But let me therefore point out one or two items which I consider to be of extremely valuable importance. And that is, the first item is Perek Lamed Hei, Posuk Kaf Aleph. Items for ourselves to get something. We are now speaking about the announcement to the Bnei Yisrael that you have to bring your jewels, your gold and your silver, whatever it is, and you have to bring these to the Mishkan. So the prophet says like this, Vayavohu kol ish asher nisto'olibo, that phrase is in order to remove any impression that you might have had, she'eino osa hadova kamo tzar benasho, so that you shouldn't think that he's giving it and he doesn't really want you. Is nadavo rucho means he is giving with a full heart, but he's giving what he can afford and no more. The habeis, and the second individual, hu hamisnadei yosem yecholto migodo tuvius libo. He is the person who's giving more than he can. Bilozer yikorei, that's why he is referred to as nisa olibo. His heart is elevating him. Perush meaning, Shehalev menase ehu, that his heart is exalting him, umaricho, and is encouraging him to assess himself, the Erech Oshir Yosemi Mashahu, as being even wealthier than he really is, but Laseistava Yoka, so that he gives an even more impressive donation. Velozer Omar, and that is why the prophet is telling you, Ki Yisrael Nimsu Bei Sugim Hanis Korim, that they were the only two types of donors that we had. There wasn't any other type. There was the one who gave what he could afford and gave it with a full heart, and there were people who gave much more than they could afford. Uposach Dimeula Shedishnehem, and he begins by mentioning the most exalted amongst these two types, the Omar, and the phrase used is Kol Ish. Asher Nisa Olibo. The Dikdek Lomar Tevas Ish, and the word Ish appears in connection with that person, Leshon Chashivus, as an expression of importance. Ucheneged Habeis, and in regard to the second type, Omar, it says, Becho, Asher Nodavorucho. Velo Omar Ish, Ki Einenu Choshur Be'erech Horishon, because he is not as worthy a personage as the first type. Umimotzadova, but at the end of the day, says the Olachaim, Ato Yodera, you can ascertain, Kilo Hoyu, the Cholamis Nadirim, Ela Beis Hadrogos. That's the only types we have. We didn't have a third type. Ubeis Leshevach, and both of them are phrases of praise, Shinodahu Belivon, they gave a most generous, with a generous heart, the Lo Osu Hadrogo, the Chesno Lipson Alei, and they did not give it in any way, as it were, begrudgingly, Elosha Echad Godol Mechaberlo. All that you can say is that one is better than the other, but neither Chas V'Sholom are in any way worthy of blame. Okay.
And that is at the very beginning of Parshat Pekudah, an item that we alluded to a moment or two ago.
Eile Pekudah HaMishkan Mishkan Ho'edus. The Mishkan is referred to as Mishkan Ho'edus. Says Rashi on the words Mishkan Ho'edus, Edus Li Yisrael, the Mishkan is known as a Mishkan of testimony, because it is a testimony to Israel, Shevitel Hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Maisa Ho'egel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven them for the Maisa Ho'egel. How do I know? Shaharei Hishra Shechinoso B'Neihem, because he calls his divine presence to dwell amongst them. So it would appear, according to Rashi, that nothing that has happened up to this moment is in any way an indication that they have been forgiven. It is only when the Mishkan will be built and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause his divine presence to rest there, only then will that be an adequate testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven them for the Chet HaEgel. So the question which is raised by the Mefarshim is, and does not the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the second set of luchos, is that not in its own way an indication that, as it were, all is forgiven? So here I brought, firstly we'll have a look at the Mizrahi, and then we'll have a look at Gur Aryeh. See the various styles of these rabbis. Avol meluchos achronos shechozar venosan lohem. But in regard to the second set of luchos which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them again, Eino Eidus al Vitor Maisa Ho'egel. That in itself is no indication that they have been forgiven. Why? The Ikele Meima, because it is possible to say, Afalti Shelo Vitor Lahem, that even if he hasn't forgiven them, Chazaru Nisanom, he nevertheless gave them a second set of luchos, Shelo Lidchosom V'Yodayim, so as not to push them away completely. You've got to give them the luchos. They're Jews. You can't just reject them and say it's all over. It didn't work out. Has to give them the second set of luchos. Shekavan is gairu, because at Matan Torah they became gairim. The kiblu aleihem ol haTorah v'hamitzvu, and they accepted upon themselves to be bound by the Torah of the mitzvahs. Ah, you'll say to me, but they sinned within a matter of days. V'yafal pi shechotu. And even though they sinned subsequently, they are on no lower level than a Jew who nishtoganachli leaves the faith. But we know that even if a Jew were to commit every sin under the sun, he cannot deny his identity. Kidechasiv, as the Navi says, Chata Yisrael, Israel has sinned, or as Chazal say, Afal Pisha Chata. Yisrael, who, even though a Jew sins, he's still a Jew. The lowly boy of Yisrael, not only even though a Jew sins, he is still a Jew. Elo afilu goyshin is gayer. Even if a goy becomes a convert in chozar l'suro horishon and afterwards goes back to his old ways, harehu ki Yisrael shenishtamit. He's not a goy. You can't go back to go. He's still a Jew. He can't take away the Kedusha of his Jewishness from himself. As the Gemara says in Tehillim Acharonot, Toval V'Yolah, a person who is Megayim and goes to the Mikveh and comes out, he is now a Jew, that's it. And the Gemara asks, L'mai Hilchaseh, what's the Nafkimin? He's a Jew? Yes. Because even if he goes back to his Goyshka ways, and subsequently after that was Mekadish a woman, Yisrael Meshumad, who Kedush of Kedushin. Kedushin is Kedushin. Once you have obtained your Jewishness, either from birth or through the process of Gaelus, you cannot opt out. You cannot turn the clock back. It's not a club. You cannot opt out of membership. It's there. It's a fact of life. So therefore, says the Mizrahi, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Bnei Yisrael a second set of luchos, of course he has to give them a second set of luchos. They're Jews! Doesn't mean he's in love with them, in the same way as the Yisrael Meshumet. There's no way I'm allowed to feed them chazer. The famous case with the gone who came to the inn, and he's sitting in the inn there, and a gentleman is sitting blazing cup, and he's eating whatever he's eating, and the gone detects that he's Jewish, and he says to him, "You don't make a bracha, you don't make hamotzi, you eat," and he says to him, "I'm a mishumet, I don't keep anything anymore." And the gone said to him, "You think that you just say you're a mishumet and da da? For every single occasion since you decided you were going to keep nothing, for every single occasion that you haven't made a bracha, you haven't done a mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring you to judgment." And the Gaon spoke to him, we haven't been Zohar, but the Gaon spoke to him, and the Meshumet collapsed in tears, and he became a Chayzer B'Teshuva. A Kleinigkeit. So the fact that you say that you've decided, you've written it all off as a big mistake, etc., etc., how hard of God to choose the Jews, etc., etc., you can't do it. So this is the vote in the Mizrahi. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bnei Yisrael the Luchos is no indication of love. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give them. Because you say, Rachel Bisha Chata Yisrael Hu, and they need the code. They need the law. And this is what he gives. Let's have a look at the good Aryeh. Who, as we already know from some times past, will tend to be a little more poetic. I think that's not unfair to say. So the Mizrahi also discusses why it is that the giving of the luchos is in itself not a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven them. Avol nesina ta luchos li Yisrael eino eidus. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Bnei Yisrael the second set of luchos is not a sign that he forgives them. The Bnei Ki HaTorah who owe the Yisrael of the country. The Torah is a burden. The Kofalem HaShigigi. It's not a gift. It's a responsibility. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them a second set of luchos, that's no sign that it's all been made up, that all is well. On the contrary, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminding them, you got to keep them straight and narrow. That's good to think it has to do with forgiveness. Aval HaShechina B'Yisrael, who aid us? But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to live amongst us, that's a testimony that all is forgiven. She'ein Echador Eichel Sonao. Because a person of his own volition doesn't like to dwell amongst people whom he doesn't like or don't like him. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to dwell amongst us, that can only be because he likes. You can read the riot act to people whom you don't like, but you wouldn't opt to live next door. That's the thought. That's the first answer. The Yod. And here is a most fascinating item. Another reason why it is that Dafke, the Shochanti, the Sochem, the Mishkan is the sign that all is forgiven. Because we know, and Chazal are full with this, that when the Bnei Yisrael worshipped the Egel Azov and went after Avodah Zorah, they are considered as if they have betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a wife will betray a husband and goes with another man. Dovku Belohei Neichor. They went away to cleave to alien gods. Asheratem Zonim Achrihem. That's the Lashon all the time. In Tanakh and in Chazal. The Yomru, and what do our rabbis tell us? Ki ho'isha hamezane asura oid labala. That a woman who acts adulterously, she is forbidden to her husband, even if her husband is willing to forgive her. No good? The Ein Hekesh in Israel Elohim, and there can only be one proof that all is well between them. Eloka Asher Hoya Shechina So Bineihem V'Yim Keinira Kilo Nitnu. And the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come back amongst them is not that if he forgave them, because I've just indicated that where Znus is concerned, forgiveness by the husband is immaterial. It can only be as a result of the fact that those who were involved are no longer with them. And therefore the people who remain alive amongst Bnei Yisrael are people who are totally guiltless. So therefore, v'yim kein nira ki lo nitnu, because the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to come back will be because the people who are there at that moment are people who are not in any way involved originally. Rat Erev Rav, Heim Sheyosu v'gorimu l'Yisrael l'achto, u'lefikoch kasher chozar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael v'hi ha'shechino imohem, im kein nisrat zelohem, v'avur shelo hoya ha'chet min Yisrael, rat min Erev Rav, k'mo shepirish rashi v'pashat yis. The second answer is that when that when Bnei Yisrael were zelche to the Shechina amongst them, it was, as it were, a husband being reunited with his wife, and that is the ultimate proof, not just that all is forgiven, because as I say, that's an irrelevance in this context. It is an indication that all has always been well, and what happened was what we would call a temporary aberration, but harmony has been restored. Now, interestingly enough, with this particular comment of the Maharal, the second comment, we would be able to answer another question. It is true, as has been adequately proven, that the Luchos Acharonos in and of themselves are not an adequate proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reconciled with Bnei Yisrael. But what we have not looked into is the fact that the Gaon mentions in Shir HaShirim, and it's a Gaon that we looked at in some detail some time ago, the Gaon says that the pillar of cloud which followed the Bnei Yisrael, or more correctly went in front of Bnei Yisrael at the time when they left Mitzrayim, as is mentioned in Parshas B'Shalach, it came with them only as far as the Yam Suf, and then it left, and it came back when they started to build the Mishkan. The 11th was the announcement to bring, 12 and 13 they brought, 14 the items were given over to Bezalel, etc., and on the 15th they started to build. That, says the Gaon, is the moment when the Anan HaKavod came back, which is why Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei and not Pesach time. Because we don't celebrate the Anan HaKavod as a phenomenon which accompanied us from the way out of Mitzrayim. We are celebrating the Anan HaKavod which came back at the time when we started to build the Mishkan. So now let us ask the question. As they say in the classics, Naniach, Goldstein, that the giving of the Luchos Acharonos in and of itself is not a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven. But why isn't the return of the Anan HaKavod a sign? The answer is with the second heretz of the Gurariyeh. Since the whole theme of the Shechina Beinenu is to show that we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like husband and wife who have been reconciled, that is only with Veshochanti Besocham, when I am living together with you. The Anan HaKavod is nice, and it is certainly very meritorious, but it doesn't bring the same message as the Veshochanti Besocham, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back to us. Now there is an item that I've left till the end of our shiur this evening. And it is long. I'll have a look at it, a part that I want to look at, and then the main section as it pertains to this week's Sidra. And I'm very anxious to bring it to your attention because it has lots of ramifications for much of what is happening in our community at the moment. And I mean that seriously. Then the Beit HaLevi. The Beit HaLevi, as many of you will know, I will not use the rabbinic expression, the Beit HaLevi is always spot on. He always has drush, which is of a very, very extraordinary quality. In fact, as I mentioned to you before, he mentions in his taxonomy, his commentary on the Torah, I don't care if you say over my pieces and you don't even say it over in my name. As if to say, what's good is good. The Hine B'maita HaEgel, in regards to the making of the Egel, Kvar Jibru Rabim, many Mephoshim have spoken about it. Maro Yisrael Al Kocha, what did Israel see to make such a thing? The Heich Dor Deok, he also had Dor Nichshelu Bechet Godel Chaza. How can a generation that has just seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvod HaBiyatmo Al HaSinai a couple of days ago, how are they Nichshel in a sin of this magnitude? And I would like to explain as follows. Please relax, we're not going to go the whole thing word for word. V'asher nireh, ki yodua debechol mitzvah yeshbo tamim v'kavonos horomizim lesodos nistorim. It is true that whenever we perform a mitzvah, there are sodos of which we are unaware, and these perform their work in hidden ways, in Olamo Toelionim. The Yadidei Kiyom HaMitzvah Nasim Tikunim Musidurim Becholo Olamo Toelionim Kemavua Kolzeh Besifri Horishonim. The Hinei Nitzpos LeDimyon. Let me give you an example. Mitzvah Shel Meleches HaMishkan. The actual practice practical details of making a Mishkan. Shehoyo bo hashroat shechina, which brought about the hashroat shechina, v'gilui kevoda yisporach. Halo vadai, shekol ma shenasa bo b'chol protov, yesh bohem tamim ne'elomim, asher rak b'hishtalem bo kol haprotim, ol poyoroi lehashroat shechinas kevodo yisporach. Further, the matter is that the actual making of the objects themselves, it wasn't just a simple act of building. There were remorses. There were hidden items which were being established at the same time as the actual kelim were being manufactured. The hamiskon kula bechlolo, the cholkelov kolecha bifrat, romizim lesodos elyonim v'sisrei maisem erkobo v'sidrei maisem bereishis v'kol erkolo elomos v'hiskashrutom zebozeh v'avuzeh hoyomokum uchum lahashrashu. The Mishkan was not just because people put together a bit of this and a bit of that. All that was being done as it were on two levels. There was the outer, what appears to the eye, what is going on, and then there were the remozim which were being also assembled, and that is why Bexalel was picked by Amaleo so, Ruach Elokim b'chokma, Suna v'das v'chomalokma, because he understands what is going on. There's the Beit HaLevi. Let me just now paraphrase. B'nai Yisrael were under the impression that it is possible, if one comprehends what is going on in the upper world, it is possible to engineer that one can obtain the Shekhinah as part of our situation. They were convinced that they who knew, after all, they were a dole day off. They who knew all these soldiers, they knew all these remorses. They were aware of these worlds above worlds. And they were convinced that they can, in fact, involve themselves in what we will call, for want of a better expression, this spiritual or sacred chemistry. And through this alchemy of whatever it is that they're going to do, they will bring it about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah will come down and reside amongst them. On the contrary, says the Beit HaLevi, it was because these were people who were so gifted, and by virtue of what they had seen in Mitzrayim and beyond, they were initiated into these secret worlds, secret universes. They were convinced that they had the alchemy to bring it about. And what happened? They got an eagle at door. So the question that the editorials ask is, what went wrong? Says the Beit HaLevi, what went wrong is as follows. All those sodos and all those remozim produced, and not only did it not produce anything, it produced a disaster because they involved themselves in activities which had never been sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekhinah does not come to pass because of any sacred hocus pocus. The Shekhinah comes to reside amongst the Bnei Yisrael when we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. When we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we have a Mishkan. When we want to substitute our own alchemy, our own chemistry, and our own chokhmah as a substitute for the mitzvah, believing, quote-unquote, that sincerity of motivation is the be-all and end-all, not only do we not end up with a Mishkan, we end up with an egel as well. Final paragraph. And with that we will understand why it is that in Parshas Pekudei, I'll go to prat, following every detail of its construction, the Almaisu Maisu Shehosu Bamishkan, and concerning every detail of what they did for the Mishkan. Kosov Mefurish, no less than 18 times, for which reason there are 18 brachas in the original Shemone Esrei. Kasher, Tiva, Hashem, Esmos. The Tevo Talalu Kesubim, Kim'at Bechol Pasuk, U Pasuk Shebeyaita Pasha, Bahalo Dovodu. And this is a phrase which appears Kim'at at every single stage of the Mishkan. Rakho Inyan, why? Because the Inyan is,
Demaisa Hamishkan Harebo Lechaper Alehem Al Maisa Hoegel. Because the Mishkan is coming to effect atonement for the Katoegel. Who come out of the east of the Medrash Rabbah Parshas Vayakel, Chotamu Benizoyim, they sinned with their nose rings, so Benizoyim Menisrat Elohim, Heviu Chochman Adam. The Hivan, the Iker Chet on the Egel, and since the main source of their sin of the Egel, Hoyo Maser Otsu Lehitchakeim, Mei Atman. They wanted to become wise on their own. La'asot alpi yediyotam v'chochmotam, Maita Ashalon it's Tabuano. That was the source of their sin of the age. Till all there, the Maita Hamishka Shabolach Aper. Therefore, when the Mishka that comes to atone, Nemar al Kola Serosu, Tase Zoras. Kalomar, as if to say, the Hagam de Vitalil Hoyo Yodea Vitalik, Osi Osini Brubahem Shumai Vavore. Even though it's a Gemara Brochus, Nundana tells us that Stalin knew all the Chokhmas, all the Nemotim, all the Seder. For all your Yodea and Mosin, the Soda to Malachto. In Kolze, the Malachto, for your Kol Kabonotom, Rak Kase Sivorah. That's all I'm in it to do. Kase Sivorah. In the Kavno, Rak Lasso, Sivui, Ure Sono, Yisporah. Lo Mishum Shahasechel Shalasmo Mechayvim Lasso Kain. Not because I think it's a marvelous idea, but because Kase Sivorah is a social. It's very important that we recognize. At the end of the day, Yahadus and Torah is not DIY. At the end of the day, there are laws, there are parameters, there are do's, and there are don'ts. And as I mentioned from the pulpit on Shabbat morning, and I believe it is a valid observation, down through the centuries and millennia, we have had pious mothers and pious grandmothers who never saw a safer Torah in their lives. Never saw a safer Torah in their lives. And a classic example of those who are mixing up Egel Azov with Mishkan is those people who believe that the saving grace for all of Yiddishkeit in this day and age will be an opportunity to let people read some Hebrew words without the pimples. Not true. It's a sheker. It's an egg. And as all says the Beis Halevi, and it's certainly not kashet zivor Hashem as such. And that is why I've mentioned it before and I will mention it again. Vayehi vayom ashmini koro Moshe liyaron ulevonov ulezikne Yisroel. At the dedication of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu called the Aharon and his sons and the zikne Yisroel. And the famous question is, I understand why he would call Aharon and his sons. But why would he call the Zikne Yisrael? They don't figure in any way. They're not part of the dedication ceremony. Why is he summoning them? And the answer is because at the dedication of the Mishkan, there was an atonement for two sins. One sin was a Chet HaEgel, and the other was a sin of Mashiach Yosef. Now what is the connection between the two? The connection is as follows. But in Chet HaEgel, the Jewish people sincerely wanted to have a religious entity in their midst. Their motivation is sincere. But what's wrong? What's wrong is you've got a sincere motivation. It's got to be channeled through the appropriate authority. You approach Aaron and ask him. You don't approach Aaron and tell him. Kumas Elon. Chet HaEgel, the motivation is sincere. Nobody questions it for one moment. Beit HaLevi doesn't question. Even in atoning for them, they say, this is your people. The wonderful people. Motivation is sincere. You've got to channel it through the appropriate authority. Luchinus Yosef. They perceive Yosef to be a threat to the unity of the family. So what's wrong? Is not the unity worthwhile preserving? Is he not a danger, a threat? Yes. Do you know what to do? You ask Yaakov Avinu what should be done. He's your authority. In the Chet HaEgel and the Chet Mechilat Yosef, the sin was not in sincerity of motivation. The sin was that they allowed the sincerity of motivation to be the be-all and end-all, and we don't have to answer to anybody, not to Yaakov Avinu, and not to Aharon HaKohen. And that is why at the dawn of our institutional religious life, On the occasion of the dedication of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu called Aharon and his sons as officiants, and he called the rabbis in Israel to stand by his side. They're going to do nothing. He's just going to stand there. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, that's who you have to ask. They're the people who are going to tell you what you have to do. Once you ignore the zikna you saw, you might as well have no Mishkan. Because what Judaism is all about, is all about structure. It's all about organization. It's all about what you can do, what you cannot do. And if we break down that structure, then it's a chesed. Anarchy is okay. You can vote to lower the age of consent as long as you like. But you cannot vote to reject standards which have been set by Torah because they were not set by man. They were set by God. That's why we fenced around Har Sinai, because Har Sinai was not earth at that time. It was heaven. And that is the main problem today. Many people, even amongst their own faith, are infested with this poison that they think that you can vote and you can out. There is a famous medrash, and with that I will conclude. There are a lot to say, but now is not the time. This is not called a marvelous topic. There is a medrash which tells us that at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to create the world, the various midrash came and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some said he should be created, some said he shouldn't be created. Chesed said he should be created, Emet said he shouldn't be created, Solom said he shouldn't be created, there was another midrash that said he should. Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked Emet out. And then, because he was outvoted, 2-1, so he was able to create man. So the Kutzker Rebbe asked, if you want to do it on a 2-1 basis, to kick Solom out, and leave Emmet, and Emmet is outvoted 2-1. Is the custom Emmet, because you can't outvote Emmet. Emmet can never be outvoted. Emmet is Emmet. You can bring millions and billions from past generations and present generations and future generations. One and one is two. Emmet is Emmet. Very, very important to remember. Emmet can never be outvoted. How is Emmet? Emmet. And Emmet Master Yoru Lanu Chachomedu. And what Chazal give us over is Emmet, and their representatives give us over that Emmet. And once we believe that we can outvote Emmet, then at the end of the day, what we're really saying to ourselves is that what we've had up to now has never been the Emmet. Because if it was the Emmet, we would never have dared to have the chutzpah to come along and try and outvote it. And when we try to outvote, it's because deep down we don't recognize that it's Emmet. So it's food for thought. Thank you. Oh yes, Slicha, just to mention, next week will be the first of three talks on the Haggadah. I'll be talking slowly. The first of three talks on the Haggadah.